Truth.
I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had, there are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, November 1st, 2021 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride. It's very tumultuous. And I don't know about you, but I think there's a distinction to be made. It's a nuanced situation we find ourselves in. I'm fairly confident that there are certain folks who have amassed, you know, who are part of a system that really has sort of stolen the fortunes of the hardworking folks, let's say, in the last century or so. And as Alan Watt used to remind us about every so many years, it's an increasingly frequent event, but every so many years they would kind of shake the, you know, turn the people upside down and shake the economy, and whatever falls out they say belongs to them. You know, there's a crash, and hey, look at that, we got a bunch of real estate and a bunch of other fun stuff. I think it was President Garfield who described this in very simple terms. When you realize that there are a few people who can do this kind of thing, cause boom and bust cycles, then you're really not mystified by, you know, when these things happen. And he didn't live long after that, so that was interesting. It seems any time that there's some kind of a revealing of the unseen mechanism, or the the unseen hand, or the invisible government, as Bernays said it, you hear a lot of stuff on mainstream channels, but it never really pierces the veil, so to speak. And you don't hear that, you know what, there are folks that are controlling these things. So I think there are some folks who are part of this central banking system in one way or another, that have learned how to benefit from the first money game, as it's called, in the inflation scheme. And the system brings windfalls to those folks, as Keynes put it in the Economic Consequences of the Peace. So these are challenging times, you know. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And I don't know about you, but I see fewer and fewer people drawing together in bonds of unity, you know, family, neighbors, and so forth. And so hopefully maybe that's something that those who feel compelled will prayerfully consider. So let's see some things. Not the point of clarification first. How about some levity to start the week? This was humorous. I have to share this. An anti-PC conversation overheard in a small town bar, which I think is priceless. This story is priceless. So over the Halloween weekend, folks dress up for Halloween. So it was a weekend, and folks were out in a small town bar. There were a number of folks dressed up. A lady dressed up like Flo for Progressive Insurance, Bob Ross, Ursula, Down Under the Sea, Popeye and Olive Oil. And there were twins. Apparently there were twins. Young lady with a... They were hashtag twins in flannel shirts. So she was hashtag filter and he was hashtag no filter. Gentleman had long flowing blonde hair with a pretty little bun in the back and a, you know, kind of a lumberjack beard, and looked, I guess, a little bit like J.P. Sears with a beard maybe. Both, like I said, were wearing flannel shirts. And in this local bar, the bartender said, I saw you two crossing the street earlier, and I was like, I wonder what those two chicks are supposed to be. And so in today's PC culture, you would think somebody's going to be offended. There's going to be a problem. And without batting an eye or missing a beat, the gentleman says, well, which one of us did you think was the better one? I.e., which was the better chick? And so that was, I would say that's a tension-breaking moment. Very humorous. By the way, it's the same bar and series of conversations where Flo was talking with fellow local patrons about bringing a gun into an establishment. You know, Flo said technically it's legal. The local lumberjack patrons said you shouldn't just because you can, which is kind of, it's an interesting twist on the way that conversation usually goes. You know, everybody wants to be packing all the time, and it's, you know, these guys say, hey, in a place like this, why do you need to? You know, everybody knows everybody and nothing ever happens, so it's not a big deal. You don't need to get excited. Calm down. So I want to sort of clarify, I guess, now getting into other stuff. Crazy world. Zombie apocalypse. Call of Duty Vanguard, now with zombies. People apparently don't understand the gravity of world wars, let alone war in general, and how awful to gamify war. You know, again, I think that there was that interview. Psychologist Tom Kersting. Remember after the Parkland episode, Tom Kersting talking about how actually these things do have an impact. in ways that we don't necessarily realize. It doesn't necessarily manifest itself immediately consciously, but it does desensitize people to things. It's a systematic desensitization. And that has an impact. So, you know, Tom Kersting, maybe we should just let him speak for himself. I guess I'll throw that on there real quick and we'll, as, you know, by way of reminder, little things, just the change from the bullseye to the silhouette, what effect did that have? Parler CEO says Facebook rebranding to Meta is terrifying. I agree. I tried to speak to that last week. It's a shot across the bow. It's an open declaration of war as far as I'm concerned. Yes, we've been doing this the whole time. And we're going to keep doing it. And what are you going to do about it? Instead of the thumb, I don't mean to be crass. I mean, I guess I do, but forgive me. Instead of the Facebook like thumb, it maybe should just be a big middle finger now, which reminds me of the movie Visioneers, starring Zach Galifianakis, you know, Jeffers Morning. That's Facebook now. But it's not, that's sort of comedic and humorous. This is not humorous at all. And I will mention, you know, so Meta is an abstraction. In technology terms, Meta is an abstraction layer. Like metadata is it's an abstraction layer of data that, you know, representing the data or information about the information. And I've mentioned the data that turned the world upside down before, that article and Michael Kaczynski's work. I've talked about this, but I will circle back and mention that because I think it's important to understand what this represents. And so we'll get into that first. Tom Kersting, the clip was, you know, the Today Show with Megyn Kelly, psychologist. This is the YouTube clip title. Psychologist, Florida shooting suspect Nicholas Cruz showed many, many warning signs. Megyn Kelly today. So here's Tom Kersting in his own words. Go ahead, please.
There's another piece to this also that really will resonate. World War I, the average combat soldier, only 10% of combat soldiers were capable of pulling the trigger at point blank range. By Vietnam, 80% were. And the difference was that the targets they used during World War I were paper bullseye targets, and the ones they used to train soldiers in Vietnam were human silhouettes. So think of the desensitization just from something as trivial as that. And now, look at the society we live in, with kids playing first shooter video games, being exposed to violent content all day long, mm-hmm. and think about how their mind is absorbing that, and perhaps that plays into why we're having these types of things happening.
I feel like it has perhaps. To be an all-in approach, right? Because
no, you know, it can't be that. Come on, Tom. No, we're too smart for that. We can't be tricked by that. I don't know why DARPA is spending millions and millions of dollars or why the Pentagon is heavily invested in these first-person shooter games, the FPS games. It doesn't make any sense because it doesn't work on any of us, or maybe it does. Maybe it is having an impact, as Tom Kersting points out, you know, just that one change. So in World War I, we had the Christmas truce, and that's a wonderful story. And now where are we? We're training young people, and you see horrific things that you know, we're training young people to be violent, but we're pretending that that's not what that is. So that's deeply disturbing and astonishing. I suppose from there, I'll talk about this, the Michael Kaczynski work, the data that turned the world upside down. Remember that article? How Cambridge Analytica Analytica used your Facebook data to help the Donald Trump campaign in the 2016 election. Oh, that's horrible. But no. So this was an article, the original investigation into Cambridge Analytica, published on Motherboard in January 2017 and in the German publication Das Magazin in December 2016. And so skipping forward, you know, I realize that, you know, most people, I mean, if you listen to Edward Snowden or Bill Binney, I wonder what would happen if I just searched like Edward Snowden metadata. Oh, not mental health, metadata. Because remember, the NSA says it's not actually collecting your data until it takes it out of the bucket and looks at it. But that's disingenuous, because the metadata, which is the information about the information that goes into the buckets that's being collected, which is everything on the internet at this point, is more informative. It's easier. You know, it's a disingenuous argument to say, well, we're not looking at your posts. Excuse me, we're not looking at your posts. We're just looking at the metadata. So it's not, you know, we're not looking at the conversations you're having or the emails you're sending. We're just looking at the metadata, you know, in search of terrorists. Wink, wink. So let's see, this RT article, metadata monitoring, more intrusive than eavesdropping, Snowden and Greenwald. And this is 7 years ago. That's April 6, 2014. Whistleblower Edward Snowden and journalist Glenn Greenwald joined forces via video at an Amnesty International event to speak about the dangers to a packed hotel ballroom about the dangers of government metadata collection. That was, you know, when we could still get together in a hotel ballroom. Both Snowden and Greenwald stated that government collection of metadata, that is, monitoring timing of calls, to whom calls were made and how long they lasted, it's much more intrusive than listening in on calls directly. Metadata is what allows an actual enumerated understanding, a precise record of all the private activities in all of our lives. It shows our associations, our political affiliations, and our actual activities, Snowden told the 1,000-strong crowd in Chicago. So there's an example, this ZDNet article, Can Snowden Finally Kill the Harmless Metadata Myth? And metadata is extraordinarily intrusive. As an analyst, I would prefer to be looking at metadata than looking at content, because it's quicker and easier, and it doesn't lie. There you go. That's a quote from Edward Snowden. So to explain this in sort of layman's terms, again, the data that turned the world upside down. So the way the story goes, you know, and this article tells the story, the way the story goes, the 2012 Obama campaign sort of mastered the art of vote harvesting via Facebook, via social media, but primarily Facebook. And so for them in 2012, it was vote harvesting. And then in 2016, the Trump campaign mastered the art of vote suppression through Facebook primarily. Basically dissuading voters from turning out. And however troubling this might sound, the research is what we're concerned with here. So this is all based on the research, the Cambridge Analytica stuff, really centering around the research of Michael Kaczynski. So I will describe that when we come back, and hopefully it will put the Facebook meta transition into perspective. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
On this, because, you know, I mean, so Bill Binney, 36 years, I believe, with NSA, retired from the NSA, I think it was October, I think it was Halloween 2021, or 2001, excuse me. So I guess that would be 20 years and a day, which is an interesting sort of coincidence. So, I mean, he's the one who, more than three decades with the NSA, back into the 80s, and he talked about how, you know, after 9/11, some interesting things happened, especially in that PBS Frontline interview, and some others. But, you know, he's the one who says the ultimate goal is total population control. At least 80% of the fiber optic cable globally go via the U.S., which is no accident, and allows the U.S. to view all communication coming in. Yeah. So, you know, and for those who are not familiar, I guess, with that discussion, look up room 641A. Whoops. Were we doing that? Were we splitting a fiber optic cable so that, you know, everything that was going through the fiber optic trunks carrying internet backbone traffic could just be siphoned off and basically copied? No, it's not that simple, is it? Well, room 641A, for those who don't know. And, you know, that's just one example. The technology is much more sophisticated now, but that was back in, what? That was 20 years ago. So, that was part of a couple of PBS documentaries, too. I mean, it's really something. I remember when I, you know, in the 80s, in the 90s, when PBS was still kind of, I mean, it's interesting what's happened, you know. Most of the things like CNN and Fox News are kind of, they seem like Mad Magazine meets The Inquirer. Inquiring Minds Want to Know, and it's just sensationalist provocateurism. And now PBS is, you know, a conservative whistleblowing outlet, and the ACLU and Southern Poverty Law Center are conservative, you know, frontline organizations. This is a weird time. Weird time. Not really. I'm being facetious, but, you know, that's kind of the way it would appear on the face of things, because we're in such a bizarro sort of upside down backwards world. Anyway, back to this story about the data. Really, it should be the metadata that turned the world upside down. I wonder if I can squeeze this in. So Kaczynski, you know, Cambridge Analytica, well, let me see. How dangerous is big data? And, you know, if you look at the AI programs and things, basically they want more data. Big data became popular around the time that, you know, simultaneously with the AI push. You know, and years ago, I talked about the OS Int initiative, open source intelligence, which just happened to, when it came on the scene in 2004, just happened to coincide with the creation of Facebook. What an amazing thing. And Facebook wasn't that popular until the film The Social Network came out, which popularized the intrigue. People start investigating. And all of a sudden, you know, because everybody was still on MySpace largely. Then all of a sudden, after the propaganda film, The Social Network, suddenly Facebook became popular. And so, you know, the open source intelligence initiative was handed this gift, this treasure trove of data, and specifically metadata, or information about the information. So, from this article, anyone who has not spent the last 5 years living on another planet will be familiar with the term big data. Big data means, in essence, that everything we do, both on and offline, leaves digital traces. Every purchase we make with our cards, every search we type into Google, every movement we make when our mobile phone is in our pocket, every like, quote unquote, is stored. Yeah. Did you know that your mobile phone tracks and stores and transmits telemetry data? Most people don't know that, especially every like. For a long time, it was not entirely clear what use this data could have, except perhaps that we might find ads for high blood pressure remedies just after we've Googled reduce blood pressure. But it turns out that data is more telling. It tells on us in very provocative ways. We'll finish that thought when we come back. Stick around.
What the truth? You can't handle the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back. You know, this is sort of at the chewy nougat center of a confluence of subject matter. And people been trying to say something for a while about this stuff, you know. Remember the Business Insider article that I mentioned from time to time? 2016, December 24, Merry Christmas. Nobel economist, I don't think globalization is anywhere near the threat that robots are. This was the article about economist Angus Deaton, the Nobel Prize winning economist Angus Deaton, at the World Economic Forum back in 2016 or, you know, whatever, Christmas, and then January 2017. And in the article, there is this little sentence. Obama's White House warned on Thursday that advances in artificial intelligence and robotics have the potential to wipe out millions of jobs in factories and industries like trucking, potentially increasing inequality. And, you know, there was more, including Angus Deaton's remarks, but I will come back to that. This was from a Financial Times article, actually, the interview with Angus Deaton. But, you know, the Business Insider article is kind of the TLDR. So back to the article, the data that turned the world upside down. And really it should be called the metadata that turned the world upside down. So big data, every purchase, every search, every movement, every like is stored. All of this, it's big data. The rumor is that Google has at least the equivalent of a million, on average, at least a million pages of a file on every American who's on the internet, at least a million pages. So, who cares, right? For a long time, as the article states, it was not entirely clear what use this data could have, except, you know, and especially the likes, except for perhaps for, you know, we might find high blood pressure ads. And that was happening, I don't know, 10 years ago, you know, right around 10 years ago. And then about that time, 10 years ago, we got the mobile web initiative, and that sort of took Web 2.0 on a different tangent, and now we've seen the realization of what Jaron Lanier was warning about. So, continuing with this article, to understand the outcome of the election and how political communication might work in the future, we need to begin with a strange incident at Cambridge University in 2014 at Kaczynski's Psychometrics Center. Psychometrics, sometimes also called psychographics, focuses on measuring psychological traits such as personality. In the 1980s, two teams of psychologists developed a model that sought to assess human beings based on five personality traits known as the Big Five, quote unquote. These are openness, how open you are to new experiences, conscientiousness, how much of a perfectionist you are, extroversion, how sociable you are, agreeableness, how considerate and cooperative you are, and neuroticism, are you easily upset? Based on these dimensions, they're also known as OCEAN, an acronym for openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. We can make a relatively accurate assessment of the kind of person in front of us with this, you know, using this modeling. This includes their needs and fears and how they're likely to behave. The Big Five has become the standard technique of psychometrics. But for a long time, the problem with this approach was data collection, because it involved filling out complicated, highly personal questionnaire. Then came the internet and Facebook and Kaczynski. And so you can imagine that, you know, I mean, one of the reasons for the battery of questions is to try to weed out your own personal bias. So there's a battery of questions that over the course of time and several answers sort of weed out your own personal bias, how you view yourself versus how you really are. And now along comes metadata, like the article says. Then came the internet and Facebook and Kaczynski. So what does this mean? Skipping ahead, the approach that Kaczynski and his colleagues developed over the next few years, let's see. Michael Kaczynski was a student in Warsaw when his life took a new direction in 2008. He was accepted by Cambridge University to do his PhD at the Psychometrics Center, one of the oldest institutions of this kind worldwide. Kaczynski joined fellow student David Stilwell about a year after Stilwell had launched a little Facebook application in the days when the platform had not yet become the behemoth it is today. Their My Personality app enabled users to fill out stuff. So they started with the old method, people filling stuff out. It would ask them questions. There was a Big Five personality questionnaire. I panic easily, I contradict others, etc. Based on the evaluation, users received a personality profile, individual Big Five values, and could opt in to share their Facebook profile data with other researchers. So they have people filling out the questionnaires, but before long, hundreds, thousands, then millions of people had revealed their innermost convictions. Suddenly, the two doctoral candidates owned the largest data set combining psychometric scores with Facebook profiles ever to be collected. The approach that Kaczynski and his colleagues developed over the next few years was actually quite simple. First, they provided test subjects a questionnaire in the form of an online quiz. From their responses, the psychologists calculated the personal Big Five values for respondents. Kaczynski's team then compared the results with all sorts of other online data from the subjects, what they liked, shared, or posted on Facebook, or what gender, age, place of residence they specified, for example. This enabled the researchers to connect the dots and make correlations. Remarkably reliable deductions could be drawn from simple online actions. For example, men who liked the cosmetics brand MAC were slightly more likely to be gay. One of the best indicators for heterosexuality was liking Wu-Tang Clan. Followers of Lady Gaga were most probably extroverts, while those who liked philosophy tended to be introverts. While each piece of such information is too weak to produce a reliable prediction, on its own, when tens, hundreds, or thousands of individual data points are combined, the resulting predictions become really accurate. Kaczynski and his team tirelessly refined their models. In 2012, Kaczynski proved that on the basis of an average of 68 Facebook likes by a user, it was possible to predict their skin color with 95% accuracy, their sexual orientation with 88% accuracy, and their affiliation to the Democratic or Republican Party with 85% accuracy. But it didn't stop there. Intelligence, religious affiliation, as well as alcohol, cigarette, or drug use could all be determined. From the data, it was even possible to deduce whether someone's parents were divorced. The strength of their modeling was illustrated by how well it could predict the subject's answers. This is the key paragraph. So, the strength of their modeling was illustrated by how well it could predict a subject's answers. Kaczynski continued to work on the models incessantly. Before long, he was able to evaluate, and this is based on metadata. Likes of content is metadata. It's information about information. So before long, he was able to evaluate a person better than the average work colleague merely on the basis of 10 Facebook likes. 70 likes were enough to outdo what a person's friends knew, 150 what their parents knew, and 300 likes what their partner knew. More likes, more than 300, could even surpass what a person thought they knew about themselves. That's the power of metadata. And there are more examples I want to get to, but we'll go to the phones And grab Rhonda in Missouri. Rhonda, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Hi. Okay, so you're talking about likes on Facebook?
Yeah. Metadata.
I don't know. People I know, some I just know of, right? They taking pictures of their kids in the Halloween costumes. I don't think that data is accurate because I clicked like. I don't like the holiday. And actually, one of the RBN hosts, it was so cute. He's on Sunday, I think. Chris Switzer or something. Said his daughter came to him and said, and she's old enough to, I don't know how old she is, but she's old enough to talk and reason and young enough still to go trick-or-treating. And she says, Daddy, she goes, God told me not to go trick-or-treating. It's not a good idea. And I thought that was super cute. But anyway.
I agree.
Yeah. And so.
Very cute.
Yeah, these people are sharing pictures of their children in the costumes, and I kind of feel obligated to like it. I don't really like it. It's just me being nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not really accurate. Here's a couple other things. So, I know someone who was at Costco and buying food, and she had her daughter with her. And her daughter's on her own, but she doesn't have a membership. So this person was buying food for her daughter, and the lady, the checkout lady, was saying that I don't know when, but they're going to change their policy that you can no longer, they are no longer going to allow card sharing.
Yeah.
And we're like, you think it's because they are going to start, like, only, I mean, make it a way that that person couldn't pay you back? Or what? I mean, it's ridiculous, because all you have to do is buy the stuff, go out in the parking lot, and exchange funds.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And last thing is I've been having internet problems, and we have I have a T-Mobile 5G box, which was for gaming, which somebody that lived here was using for gaming, and I threw a fit. And we also have the 2G box that's provided by our internet provider, which I could go back to, but it was funny because when I called, the guy goes, he was helping me try to, troubleshoot the problem. So I went up, looked at the boxes, and he said, here's how you can check it. He goes, get your smartphone. I said, what? You're just going to assume I have a smartphone? I don't have a smartphone, and I don't want one. I don't want a stupid phone either. So anyway, I just found that hilarious that they just assume that you have another way. That's another thing they do. When you call in, they go, we are now providing the service where voice recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's not going to work with those transgenders now, is it? Now, when they're starting to take testosterone. You know what I mean? It's just very... I could see your whole point with all this information. It's intrusive. But, it's a little out of control. So, well, more than
well,
little.
That's, yeah, it's mm-hmm. a little out of control, but it's meant to control, and that's kind of where all of this is headed. So Facebook's transition to Meta is, to me, it's basically openly saying this is what we're doing. We're not just collecting and processing this information, but it's been weaponized against people in a coordinated effort to manipulate and control people and subjugate people. So, which is happening, but still, as it's happening, people are disputing that it could possibly even happen as it's happening.
Mm-hmm. And that we've been assessment you're warned. Talking about, was that a behavioral assessment?
Uh-huh.
I've taken two of those. Once, I've been at this position for a long time, and I took one when I started, and I took one about 2 years ago. Totally different person, Chris. Totally different person.
Yeah, that's why. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's why the metadata is more valuable than the test taking.
Yeah,
because the metadata, as Edward Snowden said, doesn't lie. We can't fool the metadata. We can fool the tests.
Oh, okay then. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. I should maybe clarify. It's much more difficult to fool the metadata than it is to fool the tests. So. But I don't think we should have to fool anything. We shouldn't be surveilled and monitored in an effort to impose a digital panopticon on people. That's just my assessment on the matter. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
While Frank Sinatra sings, stormy weather, the flies and
Welcome back. Beyond your flowers. All right. So, metadata. Information about information. Why is this important? Well, I'll get to that. I'll let Bill Binney explain, actually, who was there at the beginning of programs like Thin Thread. So there was this Guardian article that was part of sort of a ripple effect. July 10, 2014, titled "The Ultimate Goal of the NSA is Total Population Control." This article is by Anthony Lowenstein, The Guardian, featuring Bill Binney. And in the article, let's see, like I said, at least 80% of fiber optic cables globally go via the U.S. Binney said, "This is no accident, and allows the U.S. to view all communication coming in. At least 80% of all calls, audio calls, not just metadata, are recorded and stored in the U.S. The NSA lies about what it stores." And then this little bit. "The NSA will soon be able to collect 966 exabytes a year, the total of internet traffic annually." Former Google head Eric Schmidt once argued that the entire amount of knowledge from the beginning of humankind until 2003 amount to only 5 exabytes. And the NSA is collecting about 1,000 exabytes a year. I still remember the conversation in the early days about the NSA's Utah data center, and you know, folks like yours truly on this network were saying, "This is weird. I mean, this is a city out in the desert that is basically gulping up all of the water resources around to keep these servers cool. What's going on?" And there were mainstream articles about it. And still, you know, first there weren't. It was crazy to talk about it. Then there were mainstream articles about it. And even when that was happening, people were saying, "Oh, that's not going to happen. That's not happening, really," because even NPR is reporting on it. So is NPR a conspiracy blog? I mean, it kind of is, but in a different sense, another sense. So it's not overtly conspiratorial. But now there it is, the Utah Data Center, also known as the Intelligence Community Comprehensive National Cybersecurity Initiative Data Center, data storage facility. What data are they storing in this city out in the Utah hills? What data are they storing there near Bluffdale, Utah? Between Utah Lake and the Great Salt Lake, completed in May 2014 at a cost of a paltry sum of $1.5 billion. Project has been designed for foreign signals intelligence, but you know what? Yeah, about that. Foreign SIGINT. We'll talk about that when we come back. Second hour coming up. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Co-Certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.